Welcome to the Bulletproof Veteran Podcast. Thank you for your service.
Hello, hello, hello. I am back, folks. So you might be wondering, why haven't I heard anything out of Bulletproof Veteran Podcast for a little bit? We were anxiously awaiting episode 10. And there was a little bit of a lull. So full disclosure, I had some medical issues, ended up in the hospital. Still waiting on a lot of tests and stuff like that. I had some heart issues and kind of took me by surprise, took the doctors by surprise, the family, all of that. So I wasn't obviously able to do a podcast from the hospital, all hooked up to machines and IVs and all that kind of fun stuff, though I did want to. I was bored as hell because you really can't do much, can't move, can't really, especially with COVID, I couldn't have any real visitors for a long time. And then when I finally did, there was only like one at a time and that, you know, was kind of tough. You just kind of sit there the whole time. But again, you know, I don't think they would have liked me, you know, bringing in microphones and keyboards and stuff like that to do a podcast. I think the nurses might have had an issue with that. By the way, shout out to all the nurses over at Stony Brook who took care of me for the longest period of time that I was in the hospital. You guys are awesome. If there's anybody out there who knows a nurse that's at Stony Brook, especially in the cardiac wards, the cath lab, the emergency room, they basically saved my life. You know, the nurses were amazing. The doctors were amazing. And I really do owe them a lot. So I did want to mention that. Big shout out to all the personnel over there, down to just the guys coming in just to talk to me to keep me from kind of going crazy. You know, the cleaning the room, they were all just really, really nice people. But I'm back now. I'm on the mend. It's slow, but I'm feeling better. Got a little bit of energy. So I was like, you know what? Let's get right back into it. Let's get episode 10 done. I got a great interview for you this week. We have a former Navy SEAL, Michael Donnelly, is going to be on the show. And he just talks about being an entrepreneur and transitioning the skills from the military out into the real world, some of the pitfalls, some of the things maybe we didn't learn in the military, what it really takes to own and operate a business. You know, and he also talks about his newest venture, which is the CBD path. So he talks a little bit about CBD and some of the benefits that you can get from that and how you could get in contact with his business to get some products. I really appreciate Mike coming on. He's, like I said, my first guest since I had all my issues. So, you know, I might have been a little rusty, but I hope I did him justice by doing a good interview for him. Little bit of housekeeping like we always do. While I was in the hospital, they did do Jordan's Run. I was a little disappointed because I was on a real good tear of putting in some good times for the Suffolk Veteran Run Series. And obviously, I was not able to run for Jordan's Run, which is a 5K. For everybody that was able to do it, I know the family really appreciates it and, you know, bring some awareness to people that we've lost along the way. So what I did try to do is once the doctors let me walk and once I was allowed to walk and they hooked me up to like some more portable machines, I had my my Under Armour app on the phone and I would time and take distance for each one of my walks around the cardiac ward. And I would walk every single day. And I walked like 16 times. And it equaled a 5K. And then I submitted that time. I came in second to last. I think the 5K took me just shy of 3 hours. And there was a woman that did it in 3 hours. 88-year-old woman. Her name was Ruth. And shout out to Ruth because you're a badass. 88 years old, still turning in a time. I hope I'm there one day. I really do. So me and Ruth down at the bottom, smiling our whole way. And I was proud to do it. And I was glad that I was able to turn in a time and be able to continue on with that series. There's a little bit of a lull now. We don't have another run, I think, until September. So, you know, perfect time to get training, perfect time to, you know, maybe get your time down and get ready for the next race. I know I will be. Right now I'm just walking, but the doctor gave me clearance for as soon as I feel okay that I can start running again and start training a little bit. I can't do any heavy lifting yet, but I will be able to here pretty short time. I think maybe within the month I'll be able to actually start lifting and really doing some good exercise, which, you know, I was getting into, so I already miss it, and I hope to get back into the swing of things. I hope this doesn't derail me too much. Thank you everybody who, you know, on Instagram reached out, wished me well. I really appreciate it. Everybody who was following, you know, Instagram or Facebook and, you know, was really looking out for me, I do appreciate it. I want to do a big shout out to my military community, my friends from the military. I had one guy drive down from Maine. I had another friend basically move into my house. The two of them helped my wife, took care of my daughter, got on the phone with doctors when my wife couldn't. Just two awesome people and just a shining example of the military community and how we take care of our own. So they know who they are, the two people that really helped me out and just really helped my family out. I am definitely indebted to both of them. And, you know, as much as I thanked them, they just turned around and said, well, that's what we do. And we're here for you and we're here to take care of you. And they know I would do the same for them. So, all right, enough about my escapades of heart disasters and hospitals and all that kind of stuff. Moving on, we're going to have a lot of interviews coming up. One thing I was able to do in the hospital was email, and I was able to email a lot of different people and get some interviews lined up, obviously starting with Mike, and then we have some really cool stuff lined up here in the future, ranging topics. We're back in action. So I'm feeling good. I get my energy back and hopefully get some real good interviews and real good information out there for all the listeners. Please still follow on Instagram at Bulletproof Veteran. You can find us on Facebook, Bulletproof Veteran Podcast. You can find us on YouTube. Haven't really put anything out, but we are on YouTube at Bulletproof Veteran Podcast. Give us a like, rate us on iTunes and Google and Spotify. Give us a rating if you like what we're doing. You know, shoot us an email if you have critique or if you want to hear something. BulletproofVeteran@gmail.com is how you can get in touch with me if you have show ideas or anything like that. So please do that. We are going to be pushing forward here, and no turning back. Enough excuses with not doing work. we're going to be rocking and rolling here. Also, definitely wanted to give a plug out to StrikeForceEnergy.com. We joined their Warrior program, so you could use coupon code Bulletproof on their website to get 20% off any of their products. Great energy drink. You just comes in a little pouch. You shoot it into 16 ounces of water. I'm a shift worker. I've been using it for years at work. Big fan of it. So please head on over there. They're a veteran-owned and operated company. And like I said, use the coupon code Bulletproof. You get 20% off. It's kind of a win-win if you want to try it out. They have sample packs, things like that. So if you're not really sure if you're going to like it, get one of their sample packs. I think they give you all four of their flavors, and you're able to try it out. So just something that we were able to pass along to the listeners, a little bit of a discount code. So hopefully you guys can take advantage of that. Don't have really any more announcements or anything like that. Like I said, we're a little bit of a lull on the running. Waiting for the next races, which will be in September. I will be back up and just kicking ass by then. So I'll be ready for that next race. I'm going to take this time to train as much as humanly possible and get myself back into to good shape to be running for that. But so without further ado, let's get right into this week's interview with Mike Donnelly, former Navy SEAL and CEO of The CBD Path. All right, everybody, here we are. This week's guest for Bulletproof Veteran Podcast is Mike Donnelly, former Navy SEAL an entrepreneur. He is the CEO and founder of the CBD Path. And he's joining us this week to talk a little bit about being an entrepreneur and the skills that transfer from the military into owning your own business, starting your own business, and really, you know, taking off and really taking control of your future. Mike, how you doing?
I am doing fantastic, Jason. Thank you, Bulletproof Veterans, for having me on. Having a wonderful day. How about yourself?
Doing really good. Doing really good. The weather in New York is finally better. We had a little bit of a tropical storm that came through. So yesterday we had no power and all that fun stuff. So, you know, today is a much better day. The sun is shining and we're looking forward to a good interview with you.
Excellent.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, when we have somebody on, usually we start off with just a little bit of background and, you know, being a former Navy SEAL, I would love to hear how you got started in the military. I know you joined when you were fairly young, if I'm not mistaken, 17.
That's right.
So if you could take us through your story a little bit.
It's funny. I always started the same way. I was a scrawny punk ass kid, 17 years old, getting out of high school, didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I didn't want to go to college because I didn't do that well in school, didn't apply myself the way I should have to become successful and go into a good college or a good college program. Didn't want to work for my father at the time. Didn't want to go get a regular job. Didn't want to go to community college with all my other friends. You know, so I needed a direction. Luckily, just, you know, by coincidence, I took the ASVAB test at my high school, scored high on it. And then next thing you know, I had the military branches come into my high school to talk to me. The Army picked me up, took me to their office, and showed me some videos and some booklets. And next thing you know, I could be a Green Beret. I thought that was pretty cool. I qualified for it and I can go through the program, so on and so forth. So leave their office, you know, tell everybody I'm going to be a Green Beret. And you know, I think it was my mother and stepfather at the time recommended at least talking to the other forces. So I went to the Navy, into their office. Navy sat me down at this desk, put me in front of this little cube television. Now, back then, there weren't any books or movies about Navy SEALs. You know, it wasn't as prominent as it is now. They showed me this video of dudes jumping in and out of airplanes, jumping in and out of boats, running and gunning. And I'm like, that looks pretty cool. I'd like to do that. I had no clue what a Navy SEAL was, honestly. And that next thing you know, September, age of 17, I'm in the military on my way to go to boot camp, A school, and then hit buds.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, I had a very similar situation where I actually went and saw the Army recruiter first too. And it was my father who said, hey, he was in the Army and he said, hey, go look at the other services. So I had kind of a similar situation. And then, you know, I liked what the Air Force had to do with the training and stuff like that. Obviously not, you know, the jumping in and out of aircrafts and the boats and whatnots, but, you know, it's amazing how people, you know, it's funny how you find yourself when you make your final decision and what kind of attracts you and what you really want to do.
Yeah.
So you were 17 basically when you went to buds, or were you 18 by that point?
Yeah. By the time I got to buds, I was 18 years old.
That's still young though. That's still young to be at buds.
It is very, and that culminates into a lot of things that happened, you know, throughout my time in the military, being so young, getting to where I got by the age of 19, becoming a SEAL at the age of 19 and probably not being as mature as I needed to be, got me into a lot of situations throughout my military career. I did 10 years active, sniper, explosive expert, free fall. You know, I have a great line of qualifications, did well, enjoyed it, but definitely learned my lessons along the way of not being mature enough or getting to the position in a leadership role that I wasn't ready for. Very interesting scenario.
Yeah, and I think that happens to a lot of people that were in the military. You're kind of thrust into these situations that are, I don't know, outside of what someone your age probably should be doing. You know, it's whether you're you know, an NCO at a young age or whether you're just in charge of a small group of people at a young age, you're kind of put in these roles that you would think that an older person should be doing.
Yeah.
But I think
an older person, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Because you haven't had even the chance to make the mistakes to learn from, to really excel at these things. Yeah. But yet here we are, veteran after veteran, put in these situations, and you know what? They always do it. And I'm sure you, even if you did make mistakes along the way, when you were in that situation, you had to do it. People's lives were on the line, your team, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure that that really is kind of that focus that you're looking at now, that that's what made you probably the businessman that you are now, is that experience that you had while learning throughout your career as a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, no question. I learned what I needed to learn at a young age was that I have two ears and two eyes and one mouth, and I should look and listen more than I talk. I let my alligator mouth overload my canary ass a lot of time. And yeah, I definitely learned from it. Became a better man because of it, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of you become that listener that takes in ideas from others instead of just barking ideas, which usually makes the better business person and the better boss. The people that, you know, I want to work for that guy because he's going to listen to me. He's going to listen to my ideas, and we're going to be able to do stuff together.
Yes, sir. So far, so good.
Yeah, definitely. So you spent 10 years active duty, you said. So what year did you get out?
Got out in 98.
Got out in 98. All right. So a little bit before. So all the craziness started in 2001 and on. Now, did you go directly into some form of a business, or what did you do when you got out? That transition, how did that work for you?
So at the 10-year mark, it was time for me to make a decision. Am I going to do this for the rest of my life and retire doing this? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to, you know, go out and do my own thing, be my own person, you know? And at the time, I wanted to, like, I didn't want to be told what to do anymore. I didn't want to be told to cut my hair, be here, be there. So I had a little bit of entrepreneurial. My father owned his own company. My stepfather owned his own company, you know. They were hard workers. So I had a little bit of that growing up, got a taste of it growing up. So at the 10-year mark, I decided not to make it a career and get out and start doing my own thing. Honestly, I wanted to get into sports medicine. So I came back. I'm from Miami. So left out of Miami, did my 10 years, came back to Miami, started going to college full time for sports medicine, then working for my father part time. Then I realized again that I don't like school. And then at the same time, I'm working for my father part-time. I saw the business side. I saw the business aspect. I saw, you know, working different divisions and what needs to get done to run a business and the infrastructure and what goes on behind the scenes. And it interested me a lot. So I stopped going to college, started working for my father full-time. And what's interesting enough is he was a low voltage contractor. So he did security systems, fire alarm systems, low voltage systems. So what was interesting is at the age of 27 now, Navy SEAL sniper, I'm crawling through attics pulling wire for alarm systems and calling under houses to pull wire for alarm systems. And so it was humbling to start back at the beginning again to become something special, right? So yeah. So, you know, I worked in the field, worked for his guys, and I was one of the best workers he had. I made sure that everybody knew. They knew who I was, but they were going to know that I was a hard worker as well. I was out in the field for several years. From out in the field, I moved to sales. From sales, I moved to operations and ran my father's company. He had a decent-sized company in South Florida. And then from there, I got my own state license and opened my own company after working for him for 12 years. And what's interesting is along the way of me working for my father and the employees that he had is – I wanted, you know, there were several times that I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to work for him anymore. We had our clashes, a lot of clashes. And I was always asked by either friends or my mom, who they're not married anymore, but she'd always ask, why are you still doing it? You know, why are you still there? I never got paid well. He drove me hard. And, but I always got the question to them, leave, go do something else. But I always saw that light. I always knew if I just stayed in the fight at the end, I saw the light. And, you know, lo and behold, 15 years ago, whenever I started my own company, 13, 14 years ago, when I started my own company, it's gone uphill ever since. We're one of the largest companies in South Florida. I have an office in Atlanta. We do work worldwide. I'm a state licensed fire alarm security contractor for Georgia and Florida. So, I stuck in that and I paid my dues and then started my own company.
Yeah, so it's very interesting because you hit a couple of things that touch home for me. I worked for my dad for years. He owned a construction company. And when I got out of the military, I kind of didn't have a path either. You know, I just got out and I had this grandiose idea that I was going to go to school full time and that was going to be it. And I lived in New York, which, okay, anybody who lives in New York knows you're not going to just go to school full time, have an apartment, have a car and all these different things and actually be able to live. So I ended up working back with my dad, just like I was doing right before I got in the military. Yep. And there I was right back at the beginning again with, you know, again, I love my dad to death, but he rode my ass. Uh-huh. He was tough on me. I thank him all the time now. But at the time, I was like, this is awful. Yep. You know, it's the last thing I want to be doing. Yep. But like you said, now look at you. You have an amazing company. Actually, it sounds like you have multiple companies because we didn't even get into what you did later down the road. Right. You know, it sets you up for that future. So it's amazing. The military sets you up. And then that family portion, that hard riding, you know, kind of beat the hell out of you. They work hand in hand.
Yes, they do. No, I needed every bit of it. And thank God he did it. And my stepfather as well, the work he put in into me growing up, the man I am. I think my mom, my dad, you know, and my stepfather, I owe them a lot for what they did. And as hard as they drove me and as hard as they stayed on top of me to make sure that, you know, I went the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, and it's kind of interesting to hear you say it because you when you think of Navy SEAL, Special Forces, that type of stuff. And it seemed like you had that in your head even at 17 because you were talking Green Beret when you were looking at the Army. Yeah. You wouldn't think that you would need that. Maybe I'm being a little stereotypical, but like when I think of, you know, the quintessential, okay, you know, Special Forces guy, hard charger, you know, mission oriented, blah, 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 you know, all the buzzwords that you hear throughout your military career and in the movies and all this other stuff, all the hoopla that goes with it. Right. You wouldn't think that you would need that when you got out. You'd think, be like, hey man, he's going to get out and just boom, start a brand new business. And you know, that's it. And he's going to be set for life.
Yeah. It's funny. It doesn't work that way. What's amazing is that most military personnel getting out aren't business savvy. You know, they don't know the ins and outs or even the beginnings of starting a business and running a business. I run into that a lot. I actually I'm very involved in fundraising, very involved with several companies that hire veterans as they get out of the military. So I do see it a lot. And I try to hire. So at one point, I was a co-founder of Battle Frog, which is one of the largest obstacle course racing events.
Very familiar with them. Yes.
So I was one of the co-founder of Battle Frog, and we did our best to hire veterans and SEALs, so to speak, as they got out. And it was interesting to watch them, you know, get into the real world and try to be businesslike. And it's definitely a process for them.
And what, in your opinion, what's the thing that's lacking as they get out that they really need to learn when it comes to maybe starting a business or something like that? Is there something that they think that they know or that they thought they can carry over from the military that's maybe not really true? Or is there something that they just didn't learn yet? And that's where maybe like the hang up, but it's going to cause them problems.
Yeah. So they didn't learn yet is probably a good one, right? So their mindset isn't the same. The camaraderie, it's different people, it's different communications, it's different techniques of talking to somebody and working with somebody. Just it's absolutely different. And that's your mindset. You know, like you said, you're not going to get out and just spin up a business. It just doesn't work that way unless you have a lot of luck on your side. You know, a large percentage need to put the work in, need to start, understand that they have to start at the bottom. You know, it's the old cliche and a lot of books say it, man, you know, start in the mailroom and show them what you can do. Show them who you are, show them what your mindset is, and then work your way up step by step. The opportunities are out there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think starting from the bottom for me, in my current career field, I started from the bottom for the most part, you know, fairly entry level. And what I think it taught me is as you go up, you know how to communicate and you know how to treat the people that are going to do the work for you. Especially if you don't lose sight of where you started. So if you do start in, say, that mailroom, Now when you go and talk to the guy in the mailroom, you can speak like you're equals. You relate to them. Exactly. You're not talking down to them. You know what it's like to do that job and how important it is. You know, every job is important throughout the entire structure of a company. You know, you lose any one of those people and now the company fails. So you have to be able to relate to those people. And starting from the lowest level, I think, is so key to being able to do that in a proper way. So you started obviously a very successful fire alarm security company.
Yes, sir.
Now, how did this transition into, say, what was now your second act of the CBD path? I mean, not very related here. I mean, very different from pulling cable in an attic.
Yeah, no, CBD path is like my 10th or 12th act at this point.
Okay, all right.
I'm still not done. I got so much more to do. So what I realized, and I didn't know it at the time, is that I had to work hard at this business, which I still own and operate, this alarm company. And what I understood is I had to build this business. And once I built this business, and I built it well, and it did very well for itself, and I was able to make good money at it, I was able to take the money and reinvest it and reinvest it and reinvest it. And so, you know, I've been very lucky to surround myself with good people. I truly believe that who you surround yourself with is who you are. So I was very careful in keeping the right people around me at all times. And by doing that, I've been able to invest in some good opportunities, like, you know, interestingly enough, CrossFit. So at one point, somebody told me about it so long time ago, what, 10, 12 years ago. I researched the closest CrossFit to my office. I joined it. And the gentleman that owned it was a hard go-getter. Next thing I know, he moves to a bigger warehouse. Then he moves to a bigger warehouse. I'm watching him, and I'm like, you know what? This kid's a hustler. So I invest in him, and I invest in his CrossFits. And next thing you know, we own CrossFits worldwide. I'm part of the parent company, but I invested in the parent company. We own CrossFits worldwide. We own a fitness app, a very large fitness app, NeoU, that's on the market. So I surrounded myself with a hustler, and then it just from there grown into a very large company. We have two gyms in New York. We've got Fifth Avenue CrossFit and Union Square CrossFit as well.
Very good.
Yeah. So from there, you know, I invested in other companies. I could name a bunch. and then we'll move on to the, you know, so I've done those things, met those people, invested in opportunities like that along the way, started a couple of companies along the way, like Battle Frog. And it's culminated into the CBD path at this point. So somewhere in the past 5 years, I got very involved with fundraising for nonprofit veteran organizations. And I'm really glad that I did, because it's given me, you know, it's given me a lot to do. It's given me a lot to put my attention to and my efforts toward. And while doing those fundraisers, I ran into a lot of veterans that were coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq and that stuff. And there was a common theme with CBD. One of my close friends that had his leg amputated, and this is before I got into the business, was having a lot of issues with his amputation. Couldn't sleep, anxiety, just a lot of pain, was handling it very difficult. Then he told me he took CBD one night and it changed his life. And I had several stories like that. Lo and behold, at the same time, I'm married to a very beautiful woman, Claudia. And she's a marketing branding guru, worked for some very large companies, branding and marketing for Pepsi and Gatorade and stuff like that. So she's really in tune to branding and marketing in the market. So she got hired by a CBD company to put together their marketing strategy, branding strategy, you know, 6 months out, 1 year out, 10 years out. And my wife has always been a corporate woman. She's always liked corporate. She's always enjoys those check every 2 weeks and the nice, you know, get to go home at 5 o'clock and get to work at 9, so to speak. That was inbred in her by her family. Her father did the same thing for 42 years working for ExxonMobil. So one night she's doing her studies, she's doing her research for the CBD company, and I've always been pressuring her to please start your own company. She's a graduate of University of Miami, an industrial engineer. Very smart.
Okay. Very smart. Yeah.
Yeah. Smarter than me, I could tell you that, no doubt.
My wife too, so trust me, I'm on the same page.
It's a great thing. So she stands up one night and says, you know, after doing all her research, you know, sweetheart, I think we could start a business doing CBD. It's helping a shit ton of veterans as well as regular civilians. It took me 10 seconds to say, absolutely, let's do this.
Right.
And so, you know, this is my passion right now, the CBD path. We're just the stories that we get from veterans that are taking it, you know, I can't begin to tell you, Jason, this keeps me moving. Just talking to people, reacting to their emails, to their texts, to their, you know, to phone calls, even when they want to call and just talk about what is done for them. And, you know, it's incredible. Let me tell you.
It's great. I actually went on your website when I was doing a little bit of research for the interview, and I never knew that much about CBD, you know, and I was looking, you have topical stuff, you have edible stuff, there's sprays, there's all sorts of different things, each focused on, you know, maybe a different ailment or a different desired effect. You know, my ignorance was, hey, you know, this is just something that you take, you know, maybe like a pill or a dropper or something like that. Right. But I was interested to look at some of the topical stuff for recovery, muscle recovery, things like that. I never even knew about that.
The muscle recovery, the topical is a big seller, especially in New York. We have a lot of people in New York that buy that. You know, yeah. And you say that, and it's funny because that's one of the big themes about CBD. And at our company, the CBD Path, is education is one of the key things. It's one of our top priorities is education, because there's not a lot on it with CBD. Had my father, after we decided to open this business, spoke with my father. You there, Jason?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, a little line dropped. That's right. spoke with my father, and he had mentioned that he had bought a couple bottles. I'm like, no kidding. What'd you buy? I'm not sure. Well, you know, when do you take it? Well, I take it at night. And I'm like, well, how many milligrams? I don't know. And he goes, I bought two bottles and I finished one. I really didn't feel anything, so I stopped taking it. I'm like, Dad, send me a picture. He sends me a picture of 5 milligram capsules of some, you know, odd product. So education is a big thing right now with this. Since the federal government took it off the ban list in 2018, there's been a lot of mom and pop. There's been a big saturation of CBD companies within the market. So you really have to do your research on what companies to buy it from, make sure that they're selling the quality CBD, the real CBD. On our bottles, we were specific to put a QR code so that you can actually track the lab test on the CBD that's within those bottles.
That's important. That's really important for somebody like myself. I'm drug tested, and I know a lot of veterans out there are in positions that are drug testing. Right. And when you hear CBD, you know, as much as they say, hey, there's no THC, it still gets your ear up because you're worried. Hey, listen, this is my livelihood. Yeah. All it takes is one failed test and I could be in a lot of trouble. So that lab testing is key for me. You know, if I'm going to take something, I need to know that I'm going to be safe and it's going to be good for me.
Right. And you need to understand that there's three different types of CBD that they sell. There's an isolate, which is no terpenes, no THC. Then there's a broad spectrum, which is the CBD and some terpenes. And then there's a full spectrum. And the full spectrum is the one that has 0.3% THC or less.
Right.
So yeah, you just have to know what you're taking. You have to educate yourself on it, but it's doing wonders for a lot of people. It's impressive. So it's been fun to actually watch. It's been fun to get emails from people that say, I actually slept 7 hours last night in the past, you know, past 3 or 4 months, I haven't slept well at all. And I got 7 hours last night, you know, and a girl that has constant anxiety now takes our capsules and her days are just normal. She's like, I don't have the spikes and the anxiety that hits me every day. So it's been fun. This one's a lot of fun, let me tell you.
Yeah, and you're definitely giving back again, you know, to the community that you came from, because a lot of veterans are using these products now. Like you said, for insomnia, for anxiety, PTSD, you know, muscle strains, pains. Like you said,
it's working. That's working.
That's the key.
We also at the CBD Path, you know, because obviously it's near and dear to me. We also give back a portion of our profits to nonprofit veteran organizations as well.
And that's huge, you know, because a lot of these nonprofits need that funding. I mean, you know, there's so many different, you know, there's so many people that are really trying to help veterans, and the funding is just spread out, and everybody's kind of scraping for some crumbs and everybody's trying to do the right thing, but it's so hard to get that funding to do more. And when you have successful companies that are giving back to the community and helping the nonprofits, you know, it, it just goes so far. And you know what? It makes me want to spend my dollars at those companies too. Right. Yep. So it kind of goes in a circle.
Now, Jason, I do fundraising year round. I mean, I'm all over the United States year round doing fundraising. And it's awesome to see the Patriots out there. There are a lot of American loving Patriots that want to give back. A lot of them don't know where or why or how, but they want to. So, you know, with the right organizations, get in front of the right people, there's a lot of Patriots out there. It's been fun. It's been, you know, an absolute pleasure for me to do what I've been doing for the past few years in traveling and fundraising. So.
No, you sound very passionate about it. You definitely tell that you're, as much as you're giving, you're getting a lot back from it, just in the way you talk about it.
Yeah, and I have, man. The people I've met are phenomenal. Just met some just great veterans and Patriots. So, yeah, it fulfills me, let me tell you.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, that's how I got started with the podcast. You know, I was tired of just kind of reading veteran articles and, you know, buying some veteran products and stuff like that, that would do that. But I was like, you know, I could be doing more. I could be getting information out for people and helping people. And I love to talk. So, hey, why not do this? You know, yeah, something easy that I could do.
You've got a good radio voice, by the way. I don't know if anybody told you that before, but you got a sexy radio voice.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. And from a Navy SEAL, that, you know, that goes somewhere.
I'm going to make my voice now.
So let's go back to the transition out of the military a little bit. Yes. Just because I do want to get some information out to people that maybe are looking at maybe starting their own business, whether they've been out for 10 years or they're just getting ready to get out of the military.
Yep.
Initial advice, you know, from your own mistakes, maybe from what you've learned from multiple businesses, multiple investments. How do we transition that military member? And what skills do we harness from their training and from their military experience to make them a successful business owner?
Man, there's so many words. I mean, I could just throw word after word, right? Priorities. Like, what's your priority? Is your priority really, truly to be successful? Is it really, truly to work hard every day at whatever craft it is that you put your mind to? Jason, do you know how easy it is to start a company? It's absolutely easy. It's so well, and I talk about it in the sense of to start a company, the paperwork, the process, it's quick and easy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It costs what, $100? You put a name to it, you own a company at that point. And if you ever want to be in business, you ever want to own a company, start one and have it there and have it ready and then start putting things in it. You know, so starting a company is actually one of the easiest things. Now, building it's the next thing, right?
Right, right.
Putting time and effort in. You know, what is it that you enjoy? What is it that you want to do? You know, what's funny is that I enjoy, you know, my main book of business being the alarm business. I enjoy it, but I enjoy business. I enjoy the interaction with people. I enjoy meeting people and I enjoy the business side of it. It's not necessarily the alarms. It's not, you know, the intricacies of the alarms, but it's the business side that I really enjoy. And always finding solutions. It's interesting with my staff that I deal with, it's solutions. Like I'll have the communications with them and they'll be stumped, or, you know, you'll get the impression that they don't think there's an answer or a way out or a solution. And for me, that's like the easiest thing, is there's always a solution. there's a lot that goes into it.
There is.
The first thing is starting it, Jason. It doesn't take much to start it. So if you truly want to start a business, start that business. Get the paperwork done, register with your state, get a business license, and boom, you're in business. Now, what are you going to do with that? That's the next question.
And I think you touched on something important too, is that you have to want to make that business successful too. There has to be a drive there to make that business successful. And it's not just being good at something. I'm sure you were very good at installing alarms, running cables through attics and that type of stuff. You could be the best at doing that. That does not mean you're going to be a good business owner. There is a specific set of skills and a specific understanding of people and a discipline that creates a good business.
And sacrifices.
Exactly. Yeah. My father used to be doing estimates until 9-10 o'clock at night after working a full day. When that phone rang at night, it was him or my mom answering that phone for that small business to be successful. And customers appreciated that, and they knew they would get that level of service, because no matter what, it was them that answered that phone and dealt with their problems, whether it was, hey, my roof is leaking, or, hey, you know, my son just punched a hole in the wall and I need somebody here tomorrow, you know, whatever. Yeah. You know, it could be any reason, but they were there for those customers. And like I said, I think that's important.
It is. And to your point, I do very well for myself. And I was in my office the past since every night till 8 o'clock at night, working on just the things that needed to be worked on that I felt I had to be involved in. I have a great staff. And you're right. Just because you run Wires Real Well isn't going to make you, you know, just because you do something very well doesn't make you a business person. But you do need to understand as well that, something I say a lot, it's not what I know, it's who I know and what they know. You know, in my finance department, my receivables department, my project managers, my supervisors, they know a bunch of stuff that I don't know, but that's why I have them in those positions. I can't know everything, but I have to be on top of it. Like, I have to watch everything and understand everything. Almost a jack of all trades, master of none. But yeah, so it's, you're right. It's the sacrifices that you put in. You know, my daughter, my 11-year-old daughter, sees me work hard. She sees me work a lot, and I think she gets it. And I make sacrifices where I don't get to make every play, or I don't get to make every she's horseback riding now. So I don't get to make all that stuff, but right. I think you can understand that I'm working hard for our future. So it is what it is.
That's good. I have a 2-year-old daughter, and you know, I work shift work, and there's a lot of times, you know, if I'm working a long shift with some overtime or something, I'm missing putting her to bed or whatever the case may be. And it kills me. I hate doing it, but I hope one day she turns around when she is able to have certain things and, you know, and I can provide certain things for her that, you know, she'll say, hey, thank you. And it was worth, you know, maybe missing those couple bedtime stories or whatever, because I was trying to build something for her.
I agree. If you raise them properly, they're going to understand it, right? My dad was a workaholic, hardly ever saw him. And to this day, I don't hold that against him at all.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. You know, my father didn't get to games a lot or anything like that, but I understand why.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and you were talking about knowing people and, you know, having the right people in right positions. And I think something that's very difficult for new business owners is knowing the right people to talk to get things like funding, training, marketing, things like that. Are there avenues that veterans can take for funding, training, things like that, that maybe that's not available to everybody, and something specific that could help veterans get a leg up in starting that business with maybe, you know, whatever they need? Are there avenues that they can take?
There are. You know, I've had this conversation several times too. I believe that our veteran community, there are a lot of programs available. Any specific one off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you right now as far as funding and whatnot. I unfortunately haven't had to use it, but there are programs right now. And if you put in the research to find those programs across the board, whether it's finding a job, whether it's assisting any other veteran, whether it's funding, there are a lot of programs. You just have to do the research. And I think you'll find whatever you're looking for is out there for veterans.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Google is an amazing thing. If you take the time to use it, you can find a lot of stuff online. You know, there are grants through the government, I've heard. And then there's also just people like yourself. Like you said, that CrossFit gym, you went to the gym, you liked the guy's attitude, boom, you become an investor. Right. So talking to people, getting people into your business, that is what's going to make you successful, because somebody's going to notice you. If you're doing the right thing and you're working hard, they're going to notice you, and bam, maybe you have an investor, or maybe you have somebody that's going to help you with marketing and get your name out there, and now you have more customers.
Right. You keep that pot. Yeah. It's a great, it's happened to me, and it'll continue to happen to me. I keep the most positive outlook, Jason. My foot hits the floor every morning, and I've got a positive outlook, and I work my ass off all day until my head hits the pillow at night. Like, I am nonstop moving. I am nonstop hustling. I'm nonstop working. Like, I don't sit down and watch TV. I don't sit down and have a snack. Like, I am nonstop from the time my foot hits the floor in the morning to my head hits the pillow at night.
Well, and that's what makes a success. That's the thing, you know, and I'm sure, I'm just guessing, but I'm sure you have a routine throughout your day that you probably follow. You probably have a routine in the morning that gets you going, and you probably have a routine at the end of the day to end your day. your last couple of checks. Hey, did I do this? Did I do that? Okay, now I can go to sleep.
I check the hustle box in the morning, and then I'll check the hustle box at night.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have to. You have to because if you're not doing it and if you're not overseeing your businesses, then something bad is happening out there that you're not catching.
Right. And let me throw this in there as well. You know, it's mind, body, and spirit, right? So, you know, mind working hard, working at your craft. Your spirit is you know, your happiness, you know, what keeps you going, what keeps you positive, what keeps you smiling, and making sure everybody sees that and that you're relaying that and it bounces off of them. And then you have your physical, Jason. I truly believe that, you know, and not necessarily your appearance, so to speak, but your appearance, how you present yourself. Are you exercising? Are you getting those endorphins going? Are you getting your juices flowing every day? I am a not necessarily a fanatic, but I work out a lot. I work out hard. I put all my effort, whatever I do, I put all my effort into it. And with physical fitness, it's the same way. But I've always, you know, I learned from a young age that I wanted to be in shape. I wanted to be fit. I didn't want to get to a position where I'm fighting any type of disease when I get older, and I had to blame it on me sitting around not being the best I could be at all times. So, you know, if you saw me on social media, you'd be like, yeah, that guy's out of his mind, because I'm nonstop pushing the limits. I do extreme exercises where I'll throw on a 25-pound weight vest and go for an 8-mile run. I got a VersaClimber in my garage that I'm on all the time, 20, 30, 40 minutes on the VersaClimber. So I'm constantly pushing myself physically. I think that plays a big part in your success and your mentality.
Yeah. And it's also that structure of, you know, having that routine and having that structure in your life and pushing the boundaries of what your body can handle, that allows you to push your mind and your ability to do well in your businesses. You'll keep pushing because, you know what, I can do 30 minutes on the verse, or I could do an 8-mile ruck, no problem. Well, yeah, I can have another meeting today. I can make that extra phone call to get a new client. I can do that because I'm going to push myself harder and harder, and physically I know I can do it.
Absolutely.
It definitely. I mean, I love to run. So I run as much as I possibly can. And, you know, when I don't run, I know I don't feel the same, and I know that my day is different.
No doubt. You know? I agree.
I'm big into that as well. I think that the physical, emotional side of things, you have to have that bond between the two. You have to be emotionally fit, physically fit, and mentally ready for the challenges of each day if you're going to be successful.
Yes.
And the military, even if we didn't realize it at the time, was teaching us that, you know, it really was. You know, most of us were young.
I couldn't tell you where I'd be if I didn't go to the military, man.
Forget about it.
No doubt. What age did you join the military?
I was 18.
18. Nice.
Yeah. So nice. I was fairly young myself. I was always kind of the youngest guy in the group. But again, I'm the same way. If I didn't join the military, I was going down a not so great path. I didn't have any direction, drive, mm-hmm. you know, and the military, at least, if nothing else, it gave me that purpose. It gave me that feeling of self-worth, mm-hmm. Of something bigger than myself, right. Being part of that, you know, and it sets you up later in life for whatever your career, whether you're going to be a business owner or you're going to be a manager or you're just going to be a hard worker that is the go-to guy on that team. I think all those skills that we learned when we were in the military transfer over to being that best person we can be afterwards.
Yep. Day in and day out.
Definitely. Definitely. I think we hit a lot of topics, and, you know, I want to give you an opportunity. Is there anything that you want to get out to people? I know you said you do a lot with the nonprofits and stuff like that. Feel free to plug any of that stuff. Anything that you got going on with the CBD stuff, if you have anything exciting coming up in that arena as well, I'd love to hear about it.
We're constantly pushing the CBD path to the edge. So, you know, we're collaborating with a lot of veteran companies. We do our best to reach out to veteran companies to promote what they're putting out, whether it's like Headstrong or veterans supporting veterans. We're constantly talking to them, you know, working with them to get their message out and help us get our message out. What I'm looking to do is start a 501c3 for the CBD path. It's not the cheapest stuff on the market. But I want to get a 501c3 going for the CBD pass so that I can start giving it out to veterans that can't afford it. So it's one of my next goals. One of the things I'm working on is putting that together, and getting the word out, getting the education out, and getting the word out on CBD, so that people understand it'll help them with their anxiety, it'll help them with their insomnia. You know, it works in different ways for different people. So that's my main goal right now is working hard on that.
Nah, that's awesome. And, you know, it's so important. Like, you know, good products cost money, you know, and because they cost money to produce. And if you see somebody that needs it, you'd hate to say no because they can't afford it, especially if you know it can help their life and their and you know, their quality of life. So that's great. You know, I look forward to seeing that in the future. Where can people get more information about the CBD path? Where can they educate themselves on CBD just in general and about your products?
I appreciate that, Jason. Yeah, so at thecbdpath.com, we have a blog. We have a quiz. So if you don't know much about CBD, but you have an idea of what your issues are, we've got a quiz that you can take on our website that'll lead you to the right product and the right dosages and when to take it and how to take it. So by going to CBD Path, you can educate yourself on CBD. You can take a quiz on what might work best for you with whatever scenario you might be going through. And whether it's to take gummy bears, the capsules, the tinctures, or the rubs, we also have pet products. The pet products work very well. We've got a lot of feedback on that as well. So we have pet products on our website. So, you know, follow us at thecbdpath.com. Follow us on IG at thecbdpath. We'd love to have some feedback. Have any questions? Shoot us an email. Give us a phone call. We'd love to talk to you.
No, that's great. You know, please, you know, to all the listeners out there, take advantage of this. Go and follow these guys. Take that quiz. And find out if these products can help you, especially if you have specific ailments that you're looking to take care of. You know, the answer is not always running out and going to a doctor and getting a drug, where that has its place. I'm not saying not to do that, but there are certain things that you don't need to be on drugs for the rest of your life to fix. Something like insomnia, something like anxiety.
Great point, Jason. Yeah. And we're hoping that eventually with the studies that are happening, with the FDA working on it and the government's working on it, moving CBD forward to where it's going to help people on to get off opioids. That's a big thing we want to work with as well, is a lot of veterans and civilians alike are getting addicted to opioids. So if this is a product that can be specialized to help those people get off the pharmaceutical drugs, that we would like to see that as well.
Yeah, definitely. I am not a fan of people getting, just they get force-fed certain products, and unfortunately, a lot of them have some bad side effects, or like you said, with opioid addiction and things like that. So if there's another avenue that people can take, it's important to get that out. So please, you know, go to thecbdpath.com, take a look at that survey and see where you're at, and see if these products can help you out. I'm definitely going to take a look at the pet products as well. I have a dog with arthritis, so
It'll help him, Jason. It'll help him.
Yeah. Definitely. I'll have to take a look at that.
The dog's echocannabinoid system receives CBD better than humans. Their sensors and their body receive the CBD better and react to the CBD better in pets than it does in humans, by the way.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to take a look at that. That's very interesting. Yeah. I really appreciate all the information that you gave to the listeners, beyond just the CBD stuff, just talking about where you've been and how you got started. And you can definitely tell by the way you speak about your journey that, you had ups and downs, but at the same time, you just powered through, through and you become successful because you had that drive.
Take risks. Risks are a big part of it as well. It's not going to fall in your lap and it's not just going to happen overnight. You got to take risks.
Definitely. Hopefully people reach out and they get the information that they need from you. For Bulletproof Veteran and for all my listeners, thank you so much for being on with us today. And, I look forward to following your progress, especially, like I said, that 501c3 and then everything else that you guys are working on over there.
Jason, Bulletproof Veteran, thank you very much, sir. I really appreciate your time and thanks for having me on. It means a lot to me that I get to share my experiences and maybe we'll do it again and I can expound a little bit more on a couple of the businesses that I've worked on.
Excellent. That sounds like a plan. I really appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
All righty. I just want to say thank you again to Mike for joining us this week. Just a lot of information there. Seems like the man has just had a really interesting life, and really, I mean, if there's one thing that you can take away from that entire interview, it's perseverance, hard work, and that's what's going to make you a good business owner. That's what's going to make you a good member of society just in general. But if you have the drive to open your own business, if that is something, if that's a goal of yours, I think the biggest thing that you take away from what Mike was talking about is that, you know, there's going to be bumpy roads, it's going to be hard work, but if you put that work in, you will succeed. It's all about that hard work. So take a lesson from that, you know, get yourself started. There's plenty of information out there on the internet, funding, you know, how to go about starting up a business, how to register names, all that kind of stuff. Like Mike was talking about, the easiest thing to do is just start the name and have that in the background. And then you just keep adding to it. And boom, you have a successful business down the road as long as you keep putting that hard work in. So again, thank you so much, Mike, for coming on. I hope everybody takes a look at the CBD path and what you're doing over there. Looks like there's some great products that people can try out. A lot of information. You can go there, take that survey, figure out what product really is going to work the best for you, and then try it out. I know a lot of people that use CBD, and they're very happy with their results. So definitely always good to support a veteran-owned and operated company, and especially one that seems to be really giving back to the community. As he was talking about that 501c3 that he's working on right now to make sure that people get what they need, even if they don't have the money to pay for it. I think that's huge because, you know, let's be honest, sometimes good products cost money, and, you know, it's tough if you know that something can help you and you can't afford it. So really looking forward to seeing what Mike does with that in the future. And I'm sure we'll have him back on to talk about some of his charity work and also that work that he's doing with the CBD path to get stuff out to people that can't afford it. Again, another great interview. We'll be back next week with hopefully another interview chock full of information. Again, thank you everybody for sticking with me even during this lull when I didn't get episodes out. I know everybody has been supporting, and I can't thank you enough for that. I'm on the mend. You know, when I get more information about what the hell happened to me, I'm going to share it with everybody so that they could be on the lookout just in case they have some issues that maybe are lurking below the surface and they weren't paying attention to, and then all of a sudden they kind of creep up and they knock you for a doozy. So hopefully I'll be able to get some information out once I know a little bit more from my doctors. But you'll definitely be hearing from me. Like I said, it's great to be back on the podcast and just talking to everybody. And, you know, if this taught me one thing, you know, being away and not being able to do episodes, I really do enjoy this. It really does bring me a lot of happiness to get the information out to the veteran community and just, you know, the community as a whole, and making sure that everybody knows what's going on and the opportunities that are out there, and then the help that's out there for each and every one of you. So like I said, it definitely taught me a lesson that I'm going to keep doing this. I love it. And I hope you guys keep enjoying what I'm putting out. The last thing I want to say this week before we end the show, I owe the biggest gratitude to my wife, and I would feel horrible if I didn't mention her throughout this whole thing. She saved my life on a Saturday. I was in the backyard. I started having these problems, and I didn't want to go to the doctor. And that stubborn little girl came outside and just started yelling at me and saying, "You're going to the doctor, you're going to the doctor." She actually called my father to come over and drive me to the doctor, and then ended up driving me to the emergency room. But without her, I really don't know what might have happened. So I owe a lot to my wife, more than even before, because I owed her a lot before. Now I owe her I owe her my life more over than anything. The other thing that I want to say is it's amazing when you're sitting in that hospital bed with the things you think of, and I'm just glad to be here, and I'm glad to know that I'm going to be a good dad, and I'm going to be around for my daughter. Because if you think a little bit of cardiac trouble is going to stop me, you know, you're freaking dead wrong, because I'm going to be here for, you know, every moment of her life as she grows up. And me and my wife will be together and enjoy all the things that little girl gives us as well. So, like I said, I don't want to get too sappy. But, you know, when you have something like that happens, it makes you reflect back on what you have. And I'm a very lucky man. I have an amazing wife, a beautiful daughter. I have parents that ran to my aid quickly when I needed them. And, you know, I had friends that were there and checked in on me, you know, time and time again. Every one of my close friends was there and reached out. What can we do? What can we help with? So, you know, it really does show, you know, how lucky I really am. So thank you to every single one of them. And thank you to everybody who did reach out. So like I said, let's end on a happy note. I'm here. Another great week. We're going to be kicking butt. We're going to be just doing more interviews. So next week, expect another interview coming out with more great information. So just look forward to it, and I look forward to putting it out. And for Bulletproof Veteran Podcast, my name is Jason, and thank you for your service.